Meet our audience. They're cutting their hair, working, living their lives, sharing stories, and always listening. So if you're going to interrupt them, it better be good. Prime Media Broadcasting Sales. We help you connect with every fantastic, quirky, and exciting individual in our audience, from the barbershop to the boardroom. Let's make sure your brand is heard. Contact us at advertise@primemedia.co.za today.
WhatsApp voice notes or text notes on that number. You can call at any time if you feel there's something that you need to add to the conversation that we'll have with Dr. Rose Phillips. You can call on 021-446-0567. So it is time for our chat with our favorite African futurist, Dr. Rose Phillips. She joins us every second Monday. We talk about what it takes to unlock an abundance mindset and create better futures for business, planet, society, and most importantly, for number one, Dr. Rose, the founder and CEO of Abundance at Work, a leadership development and learning immersion company, helping businesses solve for dignity, unlock people's abundance, and improve how the world works and loves. And you can find out more at abundanceatwork.co.za or Rose Phillips, Rose with a Z, rosephillips.com. Our topic today, can South Africans save? And it's November, and you've seen it. Compelling Black Friday deals flying your way already. So we're exploring an important question. What does it mean for our future when we as a society struggle to save? And how guiding us, I think, through the morass, our favorite African futurist, Dr. Rose, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hello, Clarence. Hello, listeners.
Okay.
I speak a little bit about this? You know, why did I choose this topic? Because I know that's why what you're going to ask me.
Of course I am. I can't say no. Some of them are. You should see this golf bag, man.
Oh no. We're not buying golf bags. We can take a Woolworths or a ShopRite bag, put the stuff in there. I think. Anyway, on a serious note, this topic is more relevant than ever based on what you've just said, especially in a month like this when spending is so heavily encouraged and that urge to splurge is so strong. Like you say, this golf bag, you don't even play golf, but you need a golf bag. In fact, I'm using this show today.
Oi, watch it.
My own mindfulness moment. It's my mindfulness moment. So, Mina, you can use it as your mindfulness moment as well. It's a mindfulness moment for me, so it should curbs my own enthusiasm for that next great deal.
Yeah, look, I need to get this bag. Very, very relevant. Your timing spot on. Okay, let's start with a look at the big picture. How does South Africa compare to other countries when it comes to saving? I believe we're quite pathetic when it comes to saving.
Yeah, very badly, I'm afraid. South Africa faces a lot of challenges in this area. According to Stats SA, household savings rates in South Africa are persistently low, often around zero or even dipping into the negative territory. And this means that on average, households spend as much as or more than they earn, leaving little to no room for saving. And of course, this is obviously and probably not surprising to many listeners, as I'm sure that many listeners can relate to living with that problem. Now, if you look at, for example, countries like Germany or Switzerland, they maintain household savings rates that often exceed 10% of their disposable income, which reflects a much more robust savings culture that they have there than we have here.
The question must be asked, why do some countries have such high saving rates and others like South Africa struggle? Are our inflation rates different?
You know, people simplistically think it's just because of poor consumer or household discipline. It's, of course, much more complex than that. It comes down to a mix of cultural, structural, and policy-driven factors, like you talk about, for example, inflation. Now, for example, in countries like China and Singapore, high savings rates are partly driven by limited social safety nets. It's just people's social safety nets aren't there. There's no social grants or low social grants. And that, of course, encourages individuals to personally take care of their future needs by saving for expenses like health care and for retirement and children's education, etc. In Germany, it's conservative financial attitudes and economic policies that help promote savings. Now, in nations with extensive health systems and low interest rates like Scandinavia, The personal savings rate is often much, much lower because those people can rely on social grants, social programs, and they can rely on affordable credit. So they don't have to rely so much on high savings to make sure that their daily needs and their future needs are taken care of.
So what you're saying is that savings are actually influenced by much more than just personal choice. It's about systems in place.
Yeah. You know, it's not just the consumer's fault. When a society has strong incentives or great safety nets, it affects how much people can and will save. In South Africa, persistent high cost of living, like you said, high inflation, and of course, if you think about it, our unemployment rate, that makes saving very, very challenging. Many people rely on credit just to make ends meet, and that leads to high levels of debt. If you look at the data that we have from Stats SA currently, they report that over 75% of South Africans have some form of debt, and many struggle to keep up with repayments, which of course makes savings difficult to impossible. 75% of us, I actually think that's underrated. I think it's probably more than that.
Yeah, one of the many reasons why unemployment is such a big issue.
Yeah, it is. Affecting over 60% of our young people, right, between 16 and 34. Now, imagine the burden on those who do earn some form of income. They're usually supporting an extended family circle of unemployed adults. I mean, 60% of our young people unemployed. And that's without us even including children under 16 or the elderly. It really is a vicious cycle.
And on top of that, we've got Black Tax, Black Friday, online shopping, which makes it so easy to spend impulsively.
Yeah, it's one of my biggest bugbears after casinos, I must say. Chiefly because it's usually those who cannot afford it who step into that death by discount trap. And the culture of sales and discounts, it makes it very tempting to overspend. And you know, while it feels like a good deal in that moment, every rand spent on discounted items, especially ones that you don't really need, is a rand that could have been saved. So, Karen, here's my new slogan, right? My new Black Friday slogan. Spend nothing, save 100%.
Yeah. I don't need that new bag, but it's cheap. I know the new two-part system lets people access part of their retirement funds, and I know people have been going there. How does that affect the culture of saving?
Yeah, you know, I've got sort of, I'm two-minded about the two-pot systems. I think it really helped relieve some of the financial pains that people have been suffering. I mean, it offers immediate financial relief, right? And it allows people to use a portion of their retirement savings for urgent needs. But it also carries a risk. By using retirement funds now, you may actually end up compromising future security. So it's a double-edged sword. Provide short-term help, but potentially limiting long-term savings. Of course, part two, the one that you leave in retirement, does protect you from having no retirement savings. But what we are essentially getting to is the larger challenge. Without the right systems in place, it's going to be difficult to build a culture focused on future stability. It's going to be difficult for South Africans to build that culture of saving.
Yeah, it's almost like we're sacrificing future stability for immediate present relief. But beyond individual savings, what does it mean economically when a society can't save?
Yeah, and this is crucial. I don't think everybody truly understands this. It's a critical question. When individuals can't save, they're forced to live day to day without the ability to plan for the future. And that lack of savings lead to a reliance on credit, which then creates a cycle of high interest debt that you have to pay back. Now, economically, low savings rates limit the capital that's available for investment in things like housing or education or even business development. The money that you put in the bank as saving is the same money that the bank lends to those needing large sums of money for capital to build businesses, to build roads, to build bridges, to build houses, for entrepreneurial ventures, for startups, etc. Savings fuel these long-term investments. So without them, even the economy ends up suffering. We can't grow as an economy. You struggle as an individual, but at the same time, also, the economy struggles.
So,
simplistically put, but that's part of the cycle of how savings contribute to capital investment and economic growth.
So to extrapolate then on a larger scale, this affects the entire economy then?
Yeah, a society that saves is one that can invest in its future. Not just a person that saves invest in their future, a family that saves invest in their future, a society that saves can invest in its future. In countries like Japan, we all love to talk about Japan. They saw high savings rates post-World War II, with personal savings close to 20%, actually they quote 18.3% of disposable income from the years of 1959 to 1970, and I'm talking about a long time ago. And that was done chiefly to invest in capital projects, because after the war they lost, and after the war everything was decimated. And for capital projects, as rebuilding that economy, both infrastructurally and technologically, they needed people to save. And this allowed Japan to fund really rapid economic growth that's even today known in economic circle as the Japanese economic miracle. And today there are other global economic trends, not as old as the Japanese one, like the circular economy, for example, Clarence, that are encouraging us to rethink saving and consumption patterns.
Yeah, I guess. The other thing that we're finding a lot of thinking going into is the circular economy. Does it connect the savings at all?
Yeah, I think so. The circular economy, for those who don't know, is a global economic trend that focuses on reducing waste, reusing resources, and then creating sustainable systems of production and consumption. So instead of the traditional take, make, and dispose approach, the circular economy encourages us to recycle, to repair, to refurbish items so that we can extend their life cycle. And so obviously you don't have to spend more, and so you save more. And this mindset doesn't just reduce environmental impact, because most people talk about the circular economy in context of environmental sustainability. It actually also encourages people to spend less and to save more. And that aligns with this whole idea of a savings culture and the idea of being asset light.
So being asset light then means we're choosing to own less, but maybe fewer new items and focus on quality rather than quantity. November, of course, a month where that philosophy is sorely tested with our Black Friday deal that's incoming.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? Look, if you're going to need that golf bag, and it's a high quality golf bag,
it is.
It's going to last you 20 years,
then,
of course, then go for it. But if it's a cheap bag and it's only going to last you a year, then you are not helping yourself, nor are you helping the environment, and you are not helping the economy. But yeah, on a serious note, being asset light, it's about simplifying our lives and focusing on what we truly need rather than accumulating excess. And the shift away from constant, conspicuous consumption frees up financial resources, and it does make saving a little bit easier. I'm not saying it's going to take the pain away entirely. It aligns with the circular economy, and it reduces the impulse to buy and discard, instead encouraging us to invest in items that last. Or we can participate in a shared economy. You'd be amazed how much lighter, both financially and mentally, psychologically, you feel when you don't need to own everything.
Yeah. Okay, so in a sense, then, embracing the circular economy and being asset light, like you say, could help shift us maybe towards a savings culture?
Yeah. I'm not saying there's a silver bullet. It could. When we reduce unnecessary spending and we focus on sustainability, we're not only saving money, we're also creating that mindset that values future stability over immediate gratification. And this shift can be a powerful step towards building a culture of saving. And that culture of saving is a culture that then means you can invest in tomorrow just as much as you invest in today.
So if you're looking to start saving, and it's never too late, I would imagine, what practical steps should we be looking to take?
Yeah, so let me just, first and foremost, I'm not a financial planner, so just let me just tell the listeners that. And secondly, I am completely empathetic to the plight of individuals in society. It is an extremely difficult thing to do. So whatever I say it in the context of understanding how difficult it is to save. But seeing that we are in November, maybe a good place to apply circular economy principles is now. Before you recycle or repair or reduce, maybe the first step is to refuse. Right? I said you save 100% when you spend nothing. a different note. So that would be the first thing. Well, that works. That's going to work for me. It's going to help me. That urge to splurge is strong, Clarence, so this is going to help me. Building a savings mindset starts with small, achievable goals. Saving even just 100 rand a month, 50 rand a month, it doesn't really matter. It's a mindset thing, just forcing yourself into the mindset of putting a little bit away, even if it's a fairly small amount. And that makes a difference over time. Well, one of the things you could do is set up an automatic transfer to a savings account every month, even if it's a small amount. Now, you know, budgeting is essential to track spending, so you can see where you can cut back. And then, of course, avoid these impulse purchases, especially during sales. Switch off those notifications from that online shopping site that is keeping you awake at night for that golf bag. Switch those notifications off, as an example. So, yeah, start small is where I would say would be one of the things we could do.
Okay, I think we're going to just take a voice note at this particular moment in time. Andrew's got one. Let's take a listen, Joe.
Hi there, listening to your talk. It's a pity they couldn't have a screening or a filtering system where people that had massive debt and quickly somehow managed to get some credit cards could then be verified at the point of sale to make sure they can afford the repayments.
I guess the horse is bolted by that time because the access to credit is granted.
And this is also why maybe we're trying to stop the avalanche early on, is this entire notion that financial services companies, all of them, really have to be very mindful of what they do and where people are secured, et cetera, so that you do not have abuse of human beings by financial services institutions when they can't actually afford something, but they still end up being given a credit card, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, very, very important point. And who knows, actually, you know, with technology and AI now, it might end up being exactly what happens, that at the point of sale, there's some sort of flag. It'd be an interesting thing to see happen.
You can't have this bad. Go away. Okay, so on a broader scale, what changes maybe would help foster a savings culture right here in South Africa?
So, yeah, I was starting off with saying start small, right? And I think the other trick is to start saving early in life. I think some of us, it's maybe just a little too late, although it's never too late. But, you know, the earlier you start, the better. My grandmother, she opened a savings account for me when I was 4 years old and put a few cents into it every year on my birthday. And it was cents, you know, 1974, just little cents. I still have that book, actually, as a souvenir. The savings book is more valuable to me than the 5 rand that she saved at the time. That was 50 years ago. But the point is, financial education should start early. So young people understand budgeting, they understand debt, and they understand saving. So I would always say encourage children to save a portion of their allowance, those kids that do get allowance, or involve them in budgeting so that you can build awareness early on. And of course, as we said earlier, savings is a multidimensional challenge, right? Policies that protect against high interest lending, provide affordable housing, maybe that helps people, establish safety nets that make savings feel more achievable. And then the last point, combine that with the shift towards a circular economy where we share more than we own, where access is more important than ownership. You see that with ride shares, the Ubers and the Bolts of this world. And more young people don't actually own a car or ever wish to own a car because that is about ownership and all they really need is access, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the kind of things I think will start helping us towards building a savings culture.
Okay.
But I recognize that in our economic times, it's not that easy.
Okay, before we wrap on this topic, let's just go to the line. There's a couple of messages in. Debbie Blaine writes, Germans earn way more money than South Africans. Schooling is free, etc. It's unfair to say South Africans don't save. They can't. Cost of living is too high.
Yeah, I did say that, didn't I? I did say that. I'm saying this in the context and recognizing with full empathy, it is extremely difficult to save for all the reasons being multidimensional. It's not just consumer apathy. Mm. But if you can do a little bit to help yourself, please do. Better saving is important for your future.
Catherine writes, the government disincentivizes saving by a high tax on interest.
Yeah, yeah. It's a vicious circle. High inflation, high interest rates, cannot spend, have to have more debt, et cetera, then cannot save any further, cannot invest in your future. Organizations don't grow, persons don't grow because they can't invest in proper education or healthcare, etc., and the economy suffers. It's a vicious cycle. I'm not suggesting most of the programs that we do, Karen, there is no easy answer.
Yeah.
There is no silver bullet, but sure, these are the things that we have to talk about.
Yeah, somebody's saying we're being bombarded by gambling organizations, which is your pet hate, but we'll save the drill down on that particular issue for another date. Maybe just time for us to wrap on today's thoughts. And a big thank you, Dr. Rose. I guess it is important to recognize that building a savings culture isn't just about individuals. It's about creating policies then. Maybe systems, maybe mindsets that supports that long-term stability. On that note, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not sure I convinced you that you don't need the golf bag, but I tried.
Ah!
I tried.
I'll make it somebody else's responsibility. Quid pro quo. You want a Prezi? This is what I want.
Oh, there you
circular
go.
Circular economy.
Anyway,
I get a Prezi, you get a Prezi.
Oh, that's a circular economy. Yeah, access. It's about access. This is how it works in the household. It's all circular, as you say. Yeah, you know, let me close off by saying saving is really more than just about money. It's about securing a better future for ourselves and our communities and also indeed our country. We don't just save for the sake of saving or just for a comfortable retirement. We save to invest in growth. And every small effort, every rand saved, every smart decision that we make today helps us build a future that we can all thrive in. As difficult as it might be, it's not impossible.
Somebody says, our savings are taxed by SARS. Yeah, it does go around in circles, does it not?
It does. It's circular.
Yeah, and I mean, we've discussed it. We've discussed black tax as well and just the kind of responsibilities that come to bear in our existence, maybe far beyond the kind of responsibilities that will befall people elsewhere in the world. So I think there are some challenges that stack up in South Africa. But if we're mindful about them, we can get over them.
Yes, there are things we do not need that we spend money on, like some of the Black Friday items.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. Then you save 100%. And that's the rationale. And you can't fault that rationale. I can't fault Dr. Rose Phillips most of the time. A big thank you to our favorite futurist. She comes in regularly, brings some wisdom with her. And, of course, hopefully in 2 weeks' time, we'll have more of the same. You can find out more about Dr. Rose, founder and CEO of Abundance at Work. You can go to abundanceatwork.co.za or Rose Phillips. It's Rose with a Z. RosePhillips.com.